All right, in our few minutes that we have remaining of our service tonight, I want to draw your attention back to Matthew chapter 13, the last few verses of this particular chapter, because we are looking at this fact that Jesus will not do to or for you what you do not want Him to do. And we're showing from the response of the people of Nazareth specifically how they blocked Jesus from doing any great work in their city. Here was a young man that had grown up in their community. And whenever he declared, let me just read again verses 53 through 58. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there, because of their what? Unbelief. Father, bless us now as we consider this passage again. Pray that you'd help us as we move forward, that we might learn much that will help us in our walk with Thee, not to put up barriers, not to cause Your work to not be done in our lives because we are going in a different direction, because we are blocking Your work in our lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We left off last time with the truths about what had happened, that the Lord Jesus had spoken wisdom. He had done many mighty works in that region. Very successful ministry in Galilee. Travels over to Nazareth, not able to do so. They hear Him, they see His work, and they marvel. They're astonished at what He does. But then the reality of where this man was from, it couldn't be that this carpenter's son is actually performing. This must be a sleight of hand. This must be some kind of fakery here that's involved. And so we learned last time that they were offended in him. Literally, that word offended means to trigger the trap or to be triggered. They were astonished that this man came among them. He's just a son of Nazareth. He can't be doing these great works. You know, he came to do great works there. There are three things that I want you to see that Jesus desired to do there in Nazareth. Number one, he desired to bless them. We read that in this picture here, that the work that he did in Galilee, he wanted to duplicate in Nazareth. He wanted to bless them. But what was their response? They had no desire to be blessed. They didn't want it. Number two, he desired to take care of their spiritual needs, yet they had no consciousness of their need. You know, so many times we are unwilling to admit that we've got a spiritual need. We allow pride to get involved. Well, if I admit to this, people are going to think that I'm not as spiritual as I really am. Oh, wait a minute. What are you saying? You're putting your estimations of yourself above the reality of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. Think about you and your wife. You know, your spouse will quickly point out your weaknesses. And if you're not paying attention, you will not listen. And then you're going to get into trouble. You know, we need to listen to our spouses whenever they point out things. Hey, you need to watch yourself here. Or you need to do this, or you need to be careful here. Then we need to respect that and say, you know what, I need to listen. You know, there's some knothead husbands that won't listen to their wife who's giving wisdom because we think we know better. Well, the wife can't be as smart as me. Well, guess what? You just admitted You're as dumb as a box of rocks. All right? Why is it so hard for men to realize that God gave you a wife for your betterment? Why do we only look at it from one side? I'm the gift to my wife for her betterment. Let me tell you something. Go back to Genesis, Knothead. Who did God give to the man to be a helper? A help meet for him. God did. All right? God did. You weren't the special gift to her. She was the special gift to him. Unless you understand that, men, you're going to be banging your head against a concrete wall. And I want to tell you something, it hurts after a while. It hurts. Oh, how we need to pay attention. Pay attention. These Nazareth dwellers did not see, they had no conscious understanding of their need. And the one who could have helped them was standing right before them. But because they did not see the need, they rejected him, and he could do no great work there. Do we want that written over Grace Bible Church? God could do no great work at Grace Bible Church because they had no consciousness of their need. The third thing comes to mind. He desired to heal them. They resented being told they were sick. You know, one of the things that you learn as you get older is that sometimes as you get older, you have to realize that a lot of the problems that you have is because you're getting older. Now you say, well, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not for some people. We think we're bulletproof. We're faster. We can jump higher. We can do this. We can do that. You know? Well, you know, you may be able to be a little spryer than some people. But you know what happens as we get older? There's joints that wear out. And the hearing starts to fail. You know, my kids, we were talking about, I said, kids, I'm going to have to get hearing aids. Now, it didn't bother me. Some people, I'm not having a hearing aid. It admits that I can't hear. Yeah, you're right. But do you want to hear? So I got hearing aids. There's a lot of things that you have to do. You have higher than normal, triglycerides. No, I don't. Now that would be stupid. If I'm looking at a test that says you have high triglycerides and I say, no, it's not. There's something wrong with your numbers. Well, why did you come and take the test, sir? Huh? Why'd you take the test? You're denying reality. Why do we struggle so? It's pride. Pride. I would admit to others that I have a weakness. Well, what did God tell Paul? In your weakness, I can be strong. If you can't admit before God that you've got a weakness, God can't help you. God can't do a work in your life because you think you're strong and you don't need His help. That's a problem. And that's why we have verse 58, and He did not mighty works there because of their unbelief. They just didn't believe what He had to say. Didn't apply to them. Who's he think he's talking? The son of Nazareth. Who does he think he is coming in here and talking? He's just a carpenter's son. Was what he's saying truth? Yes. Did what he say meet their need, their spiritual need? Yes. But he could do no work there. And that brings me to three more things here. Things that block Jesus from doing what you need done in your life. And he said, oh, wait a minute. God is sovereign. He can do anything in my life. I want to tell you something. Some people can be taken to the school of hard knocks and still make F's. Did you know that? Now, I wasn't what you would call a rocket scientist. I struggled in middle school and high school. Now, things started to click a little bit better when I got off to college, and I improved a little bit in that particular area, of especially in English. I had to take bonehead English because I didn't do too well. That wasn't an official class, but that's what it was. It was called junior English. But it was bonehead English for those people that didn't test well and had to do that. So I took two English classes. I want to tell you, you know, Jenny is known as the grammar Nazi at Santa Rosa Christian Academy. I mean, she corrects you if you say it wrong, right, David? So what he does is he deliberately says it wrong just so he can watch her go off on something like that. But I remember I had Mrs. Lanier, and she was known as the grammar Nazi of Bob Jones University. And I want to tell you something. You'd write a paragraph and it would come back and it looked like more red ink than what you wrote down in your color. And I said, you know, I want to pass this class. So you work for her. Sometimes she would say, hey, stop by my office. I want to help you. Now, I could have said, I don't need your help. But wait a minute. I was matriculated in bonehead English, which meant what? I needed her help. I didn't do too well on the testing. So I went to her office. And man, she helped me. Things started clicking. And I'll tell you another thing that helped me in English was Greek class. Man, I learned more things about English in Greek class than I thought I could cram in my little head. And it all started to click. And I got an A+ in English. Never had happened before in my entire life. Because I had Mrs. Lanier, who just kind of took me under her wing, and she said, well, I'm going to help you. And I appreciated that. I needed that. Now, there are things that will block Jesus from doing a work that you need done in your heart. Number one, one of the things that blocks is esteeming yourself higher than others. Esteeming yourself higher than others. Isn't that what these folks did in Nazareth? Oh, you're just one of the children. Now, by the way, weren't these people descendants of Nazareth too? Think about that. You know, sometimes we don't think about that. These people who were born and raised in Nazareth were denying a boy that grew up in Nazareth that he couldn't be that wise and he couldn't do those wonderful works. And here they were, children of Nazareth too, making that decision about another child of Nazareth. And yet Jesus was the Son of God. They couldn't get past his heritage. That's a problem. They esteem themselves higher than Jesus. You know, Webster's 1828 dictionary, and by the way, that entire dictionary is online. It is an excellent dictionary. You don't have to carry that big old green thick book. You know, I've got one in my office. I've had it for probably 40 years. And I don't have to look it up. I can just go click on there, the Webster's 1828 dictionary, type in the word, boom, you got the whole thing. And this is what it says about esteem. 1828, Noah Webster. Esteem is an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs. You know what a lofty air is? All right? That's where you kind of walk around. Bill Hall used to do that. He would do that, you know, his big old nostrils, and he'd come out like that. And he would be putting on lofty airs. You ever watch people do that? I know more than you do. Well, good. Congratulations. All right. Like we're supposed to just fall on the ground and grovel because they know more. All right. Well, guess what? God knows more than you. Yeah. Goes on. Manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, separation from you. You're not on my level. Reserve, and often, I get this, contempt of others. Were all of these things manifested by the people of Nazareth, the leaders in Nazareth? Absolutely. They esteemed themselves higher than the Lord Jesus. John 8 and verse 7. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. That's from the Amplified Bible, talking about the woman that was taken in adultery, and they hauled her before Jesus. So this woman was taken in adultery. What say ye? And Jesus went down on the ground and began to draw on the ground. And then when He stood up, looked up, He said, He that is without sin, cast the first stone. And you know what they did? From the oldest to the youngest, they walked away. That's interesting to me. You see, the oldest had a little more sense. The younger ones kind of stayed around a little bit longer. Maybe I should pick up a stone. No, maybe I shouldn't. And they walked oldest all the way down to the youngest, and then they all walked away. And then Jesus turned to her, where are thy accusers? She said, they've all gone away. She said, neither do I charge thee. Go thy way and what? Sin no more. Oh, that passage. John 8 is just full of rich teaching about pride and arrogance. We need to be careful that we don't esteem ourselves. I'm going to close with this verse from John chapter 8. We'll get to the other two, Lord willing, at some other time. John chapter 8, at that latter part of the chapter, at verse 41, we read this. Now this was the pride and arrogance of the Israelite leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests. They were interacting and Jesus was exposing their sin of pride. We are of Abraham. We are not like them. So Jesus responded and said, let's start at verse 39. They answered and said unto Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Now, why did they say that to Him? Do you know what the talk was about Jesus? Yeah. She was pregnant before they were married. They were accusing Him of being a child born of fornication. We're not like that. Throwing that up in the face of the Lord Jesus. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? You know what kept them from understanding the truth? Pride. Sinful arrogance. We're going to pick up with the other two, Lord willing, in the future. Let's stand together as we close in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for Your goodness to us, and I thank You for Your word. Lord, so instructive. If we'll just let it reach into our hearts and expose the sin of pride that all of us experience. We all have that measure of pride within us that think we're better than others, that think this or that, and it's totally not true. But we believe it nonetheless. I pray that You would deliver us from sinful pride, and that we might follow after Thee and know Thy best. We want You, dear Father, to do a great work here at Grace Bible Church. And that means that we've got to humble ourselves before Thee. So we pray, Father, that You would undertake in each heart and life that's here tonight, and those that listen by way of Facebook Live or the Internet in the future, Lord, I pray that You would deliver us from our pride. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a good evening.